The Playlist with Ben and Fiona.
Wearing pyjamas to work, that's my pick.
Welcome to The Playlist, ISO edition, where we're back to talk about movies and TV shows that are worth your time. I'm Fiona Williams, and I'm coming to you from my impromptu home office, and I'm here with, but also separate from, my co-host, Ben Nguyen. Hey, Ben. How are you? And I mean that with all sincerity.
Hi, Fiona. I'm going okay. This is interesting times that we're living in. I'm in my impromptu home office, otherwise known as my bedroom. And for those listening, we are
on a video call to one another.
And this is a very interesting experience. I guess this has been our life for a while now. We're fortunate enough, I guess, that SBS is considered an essential service, and so our work life has continued to some extent as normal, but in this very strange, isolated way that we're now living.
Yeah, so true. I only see you on Zoom calls these days, Ben, but, you know, we're lucky to have that way of catching up. But, yeah, same. We are very lucky to have jobs, and my work has actually transferred to home, you know, without too much disruption. So, yeah, very conscious of those who are doing it a lot more tough than we are. So very aware of our privilege.
Yeah, I think that, you know, this is a television and movies podcast, and the reality is that television and movie professionals around the world are out of work. And I think for our industry that relies a lot on freelancers and casuals, I think people are doing it really tough.
Yeah. And I think it was the closure of cinemas that made it real for me, knowing how this was all going to go down, because I mean, going to the movies kind of is my social life. I've got, I go, you know, 3 to 4 times a week, you know, very lucky again through my job that I get to do that. And I've got friends I see at the movies, and, you know, my husband's also a reviewer, so we go together and it's a cheap date. And yeah, just seeing movie cinema closures and then seeing festivals that I live for, you know, Sydney and then MIFF have also, you know, had to postpone. That was fairly early on. It made me realise, you know, how long we are in this for.
Yeah, it's really extraordinary the impact this is having. And I guess no one knows how this will all shake out, but, you know, we're obviously seeing movie releases delayed. We're seeing shows like the new season of The Handmaid's Tale that have had to halt production and aren't expected now, you know, sort of sometime in 2021. Lots of questions about how we're even going to fill schedules, you know, from the perspective of my day-to-day work life.
Exactly. Like, you know, you're on the SBS main channel, so tell us how you are doing, finding spots for the shows.
Yeah, well, I think that productions have largely halted, but then current affairs reporting continues and you know, we've seen the interest in news coverage really spike across every channel in Australia. Mm. So there's a real desire for people to understand what's going on in the world. But also I think just that thing that television and cinema going gives people, which is that shared communal experience. I think that we're so disconnected now that we are isolated to our homes that people are looking for those shared moments that television can give them. So I think crowding around a television screen to watch the evening news gives people a little bit of a sense of that. But there's some archive documentaries that continue to be made because they don't require the same scale of production. Really interestingly, I saw today that Neighbours is going to go back into production in a very unique form where they'll be operating in little units to prevent cast and crew being, you know, too many people in the same place in the same time, limiting things like, you know, none of the male actors will have their makeup done, et cetera. I mean, I guess sort of I hope that they've taken all the safety precautions, but, you know, I applaud the attempt to get the industry back and moving again.
Yeah, for sure. As you say, movies and TV are kind of what we all cling to at the time like this. And I know personally I've just been watching a whole lot of things and, yeah, working on quite a groove on the couch there for just sitting there binging things across weekends. So, like, for this show, we do have a segment, What Have You Been Watching? So I think we're probably going to have a fair bit of edited highlights of what we've been watching over the last 6 weeks, 2 months. Who knows? Time has no meaning anymore.
Yes, I think good reminder about what we're here for. We are here to give people some tips and suggestions about what they can be watching in lockdown. So that's definitely all coming up. But I did want to kick off this show with a little bit of a roundup of viruses in movies and TV.
Just to get our minds off everything.
Yeah, well, I think that people obviously respond to this kind of crisis in different ways. And I think for some people, there's a real desire to, you know, tell me how bad could it get? Some people sort of really, their way of coping is just tell me the worst possible thing that could happen so that, you know, I can mentally ready myself for that. Whereas other people just go the other way and sort of, you know, I don't want to know anything. Most of us probably sit somewhere in between. But we've seen on Google searches and the iTunes charts that the movie Contagion,
classic of the genre,
has shot up in interest. So this is the Steven Soderbergh movie that came out in 2011.
Did you mention seeing anyone who was sick? Anyone on a plane, the airport?
No. She said she was jet lagged.
The average person touches their face 3 to 5 times every waking minute. In between, we're touching doorknobs, water fountains, and each other.
Beth! Mom? No, go up to your room, honey.
So we have a virus with no treatment protocol and no vaccine at this time.
And I rewatched it the other night. I mean, it's obviously very well researched and it's really quite extraordinary what it gets right.
Well, I have not rewatched it lately. In fact, I think I only saw it the one time in the cinemas. So, yeah, I've not been, quote unquote, leaning in to the whole Contagion genre. I'm one of the others, you know, just watching things like Tiger King. But anyway, yes. What did it get right?
Well, Contagion is one of these movies, you know, with multiple story strands taking place across different parts of the globe. And it's one of these all-star casts. It's got Gwyneth Paltrow, Matt Damon, Lawrence Fishburne, Jude Law, Marion Cotillard, the cast list goes on and on and on. And we start out with Gwyneth Paltrow, who's just come back from Hong Kong and she's come down with something and she is patient zero and she passes away. Spoiler alert, that's sort of the early shocking death.
Well, if you're patient zero, it's probably not going to work out all that well for you.
Yeah, but we sort of see the way that the virus sort of spreads from person to person and the way that the CDC and the US attempt to deal with it. They work out very early that this virus has come from a bat, and the fact that it's come from a bat in Asia, you know, just sort of sends a couple of shivers down the spine of recognition. And then just some of these conversations going on at this high level. Kate Winslet plays a doctor within the CDC who's managing the response, and they're talking about closing the schools, and if they close the schools, you know, what are the parents going to do who work on the front line of healthcare? And I just felt like, you know, did someone come from the future, go back in the past to write this screenplay? And there's a great scene with Kate Winslet talking to another sort of health professional, and he's sort of just complaining about his wife's excessive use of hand sanitizer. And I just sort of thought again, someone knew what's up. So it gets a lot right. I think that the most annoying aspect of the film is Jude Law's character, who's a bit of a sort of fake news blogger spreading misinformation, but he does one of the worst Australian accents I've ever heard. I feel like Dick Van Dyke thanks Jude Law for making his Cockney accent look good from Mary Poppins.
Wow, I do not remember that from it, and maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, given that the villain of the film is really this invisible virus, they sort of had to create some kind of human character to dislike. Continuing to think about virus movies, the first one that came to mind is an older title, Outbreak, back from 1995.
Your town is being quarantined.
We got 19 dead. We got 100 more infected. It's spreading like a brush fire.
What are you talking about?
If one of them's got it, then 10 of them have got it now. And if one of them gets out of Cedar Creek, we have a very interesting problem.
If that bug gets out of there, 260 million Americans will be dead or dying.
And that also has a bit of an all-star cast. Dustin Hoffman, Rene Russo, Morgan Freeman, Kevin Spacey, Cuba Gooding Jr., Donald Sutherland as a villainous general. And I haven't seen this for a long, long time. I haven't rewatched it. But this was about an outbreak of an Ebola-type virus that gets spread by an infected monkey from Africa to the United States, and about how the military are sort of the villains in this piece, and they consider some extreme actions like bombing local populations in order to wipe it out. And the medical staff are the heroes of the piece, looking to find more humane ways of containing it. So Outbreak led me on to The Hot Zone, which is a new drama series that will be coming to SBS On Demand in a couple of months. Again, great cast. Juliana Margulies plays the lead. Noah Emmerich from The Americans is in it. Topher Grace from That 70s Show. Liam Cunningham from Game of Thrones. And this is about a true story set in 1989 where Ebola was being investigated in a lab in the US. And one thing that I was very interested to discover is that this is based on a nonfiction book, which also turns out was the inspiration for Outbreak as well. That just took a very different tack. But the series kicks off with a guy who's obviously very sick being kind of rushed onto a flight within Africa, and he pustules on his face begin to burst.
Do what pustules do, yep.
And a flight attendant sort of asks if she can assist him, and he hands her a vomit bag full of blood. So very horror movie beginnings, but I think it's sort of one of the kind of warmest, most grounded performances from Juliana Margulies that I've seen for a while, and I'm a big fan of hers. And so, yeah, this sort of takes us into the true story of how scientists tried to manage a very, very dangerous virus of which they sort of had no real understanding of at the time.
Yeah.
So one to look out for.
When are we getting that? Do we know?
That is dropping in July.
Okay. Well, you know, and I said I'm not leaning into this contagion genre, but actually just before we all had to retreat to our homes, I did actually watch And the Band Played On, the 90s kind of epic telemovie that sort of charted the it profiled all the researchers behind trying to get the AIDS epidemic recognised and trying to get it considered an epidemic, really. Have you seen that one?
No, I've heard good things.
Yeah, it is really good. And again, that's another all-star cast. It's a huge, huge casting, but led by Matthew Modine. And it is very powerful. And just purely coincidentally, we started watching that one at home here sort of late January, I think it was. Yeah, based on the book by Randy Schultz. Look, it's a medical story, of course, about all the researchers connecting the dots between these outbreaks of disease, largely between gay men across America. And it really takes aim at the glacial pace that it took to act in regards to this and the politicisation of the whole epidemic. So that has very familiar overtones, really, looking at the US at the moment. But it's kind of like a timeline and a procedural thriller, really, about the AIDS crisis. So that one's And the Band Played On. So just watch that on DVD just before all of this happened.
And I think I'm sure we can expect at some point in the future someone will dramatize what's going on now.
And, no doubt.
Because I'm sure there are many stories of, sort of heroism, but also incompetence at very senior levels. So I think that it's probably a bit too much for us to take on at this present moment to fully absorb. But I'm sure that there are stories that will emerge in the weeks and months and years to come.
Who should make the movie?
Oh, I'd like to see a documentary first.
Yeah.
You know, maybe from like an Alex Gibney or something, and and then we can have the dramatized version later.
Yeah, yeah. No, way too soon to do the movie yet, but yeah.
All right. So, Fee, you've been keeping yourself busy chatting with some program makers and filmmakers. Who have you had a chance to speak to recently?
Well, with the movie releases going away, obviously my usual round of interviews has dried up somewhat, but I'm hoping to get a few happening soon for future episodes of the playlist. But just last week, actually, I interviewed Dynamo, the magician, for a series.
It's a bit of a change of pace.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, he's currently living with coronavirus, but doing well, he says, so that's good. But the reason was for the television series we have at SBS and On Demand, Dynamo Beyond Belief, which is a mix of documentary about his own personal experience of chronic illness throughout his life.
Which has sort of put him out of action for a while.
Yeah, very much, yeah. And sort of all the complications that have come from living with Crohn's disease since he was a teen. But in a particularly bleak time, he used the time away from the spotlight to devise some pretty elaborate magic tricks. And he says, you know, with the aid of some heavy medication, he came up with some wild ideas. And so this show documents, it has his video diary from the time when he was ill with what's happened since. He's since, you know, recovered from that particularly dark time. And he does a whole bunch of tricks. So that was good. So I had a chat to him.
Great.
Yes, so the conversation happened via Zoom, so well separated, and no magic tricks were to be had there.
It's good that social distancing was observed.
Absolutely. But I'm enjoying the Zoom interviews. I'm going to ask for those when we all get back to normal, assuming we all get back to normal. No, it's a great way to have a chat.
Yes, this is something we can pick up at a later date, is what are we doing now that is going to persist on post-pandemic?
Yeah. This complicated setup.
Wearing pyjamas to work. That's my pick.
Absolutely, yeah. the news readership, so you sort of dress at the top for your Zoom meetings, but it's just hang loose mongoose, I'm living in leggings. elsewhere, I had another Zoom chat with the creator of War of the Worlds, a new series that's coming to SBS in a couple of months. Howard Overman, he's the showrunner of that, and we had a good chat.
About a different kind of global disaster.
Yeah. Bit of a theme in all the stuff you're buying, Ben. But yes, so that one we've got down the track a bit. We'll put that interview out there when we have the show.
Great. Well, now I think it might be time for what we've been watching, because we've been doing a lot of that.
Yeah, we have. We have to sort of do edited highlights, I think. I can't speak for you, but yeah, watching a lot. You start. What have you been watching in these uncertain times?
Okay, well, with having children not at school and around home a lot more than expected, I've had to come up with a lot of new shared activities at home. And so I've got a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old. So dealing with a teenager 24/7 in close proximity is proving to be a new challenge.
But for her as much as you, I'm sure.
Yeah. And trying to come up with TV and movies that work across all the different age brackets is a challenge. But Gilmore Girls, we've been rewatching that. So, you know, I think sort of the 13-year-old, she's enjoying that tale of a single mum with her 16-year-old daughter who herself had her daughter at 16 and is sort of forced to re-engage with her parents, her very wealthy parents, in order to send her daughter to sort of a very well-equipped private school. So that's been a very entertaining watch. MasterChef, that's sort of gotten all the family gathered around the couch to watch the new season with an all-new judging panel. Yeah, so Matt, Gary and George departed under some controversy last season, but I don't know that the new judging panel sort of, apart from Jock, who's a very acclaimed chef from Adelaide and he's very good, and sort of Andy, who's a previous winner and also sort of has had some success with his Sydney restaurant, but both him and Melissa Leong, I don't think quite have the judging chops. But this is a season where they've brought back a lot of old favourites like Poe, for example, to cook for us again. So that's a good time. And then we did a bit of a movie double with the Addams Family and the Addams Family Values. So
good double.
That worked a treat, actually. I think that one still holds up for multiple generations.
Yeah, and I agree. I saw them probably 5 or 6 years ago, actually. But no, they're a fun watch. That's a good one. Did the kids like them?
Yeah. I think sort of, to be honest, the 10-year-old did make an exit at some point to go play computer games in his room. But the rest of us enjoyed it.
Fair.
How about you, Fee?
Well, it's been an eclectic mix. I don't watch MasterChef. I think the daily, like, it's on a lot. So I think just that seems a bit too much for me at the moment.
Bit of a commitment. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I watched that one through Gogglebox, which I love all the time, but especially during this self-isolation period. So I do hope that they extend the series of Gogglebox to help us through these trying times. So what have I been watching? Well, I was actually talking about movies. I was just thinking about the last movie that I saw at a cinema before they all had to stop. But Downhill was the last movie that I saw in the cinemas, which is the US remake or adaptation, really, of the fantastic Swedish film Force Majeure, about the family on a ski holiday, an avalanche is coming for them, and the father bolts and doesn't look back behind him to make sure his family is okay. Incredible premise, and both films actually really work. I thought Downhill was played with that concept and made it its own in a way that was also excellent. And it's helped enormously by Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Will Ferrell as the couple. So did love that. So if it's the last movie I see for a while in the cinemas, that was a good one. Otherwise, I think I alluded to it earlier. Yes, I binged Tiger King on Netflix that weekend that it came out, like most people.
Yes, as did I.
Yeah, it was a very easy watch. Made you feel a little unclean afterwards, but that was my good junk food watch that weekend.
Yeah, I was thinking about what it was that made Tiger King such a success. I think that there just was something about it that meant that we all could escape from what was happening in the real world around us. Mm. And you know, I think just that idea of these private zoos in the Midwest and these bizarre characters and these mystery deaths, I think that it happened to have all the elements and be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, I think Netflix dropped it pretty much the weekend that we all retreated to our homes. So, yeah, that's just a recipe for a huge hit, I think, when you throw in someone like Joe Exotic or whatever his name is. Yes,
seems
so
to be.
That was a wild time. And like I said, it's been an eclectic mix. Well, sort of, did I watch? I think I went from that to rewatching one of my all-time favourites, The Third Man, the film with Orson Welles and Joseph Cotten from back in the day, 1949, in fact, set in Austria, and just a wonderful post-war noir thriller, which I went back to that because I've also been watching a lot of Antiques Roadshow as sort of a comfort watch. I love that show.
Oh, I'm interested in this link now.
Well, there was an episode where someone had a script with all of Carol Reed's notes on it. This gentleman's mother was the assistant to Carol Reed, director of The Third Man. So it was actually a catch-up episode of Antiques Roadshow, kind of a Where Are They Now? And I've gone on a whole Antiques Roadshow bent now, but when he was first on the show with this script and it was valued, someone who runs the Third Man Museum in Austria, in Vienna, got in touch with the producers who put him in touch with the gentleman who had the script, and this episode followed him on his journey to Vienna to hand the script over, where it now it's found its rightful place in the Third Man Museum in Vienna.
I feel like I've missed out by not watching Antiques Roadshow recently.
Oh, look, it's on every day. I love it. So, yes, that's also what I've been watching. That's my comfort watch. And just a couple more. I'll go on again. Uncut Gems, the Adam Sandler film that he should have gotten nominated for an Oscar for. It's hectic. Have you watched it?
Yeah.
I love it. But I don't think I can watch it again in a while. My anxiety was just very high watching it. It's fantastic, the Safdie brothers, who did another great film, Good Time, a couple of years ago. Yeah, fantastic story about a jeweler in New York.
Yeah, Adam Sandler was so good in that movie, and it takes place, I think, you know, it's over a 48-hour period or something like that. It's like a really sort of intense, compressed thriller. And it was the kind of movie that led me to do a whole lot of Wikipedia searching, because it has these intersections with real life basketball games and with the real life basketball NBA player appearing as himself, obviously considerably older now than what he was at the time, although, you know, it's done very well, so you don't really notice that.
Yeah.
But, you know, a movie that leads you down a Wikipedia wormhole is a movie well watched.
Oh, totally, yeah. No, it's so good. Highly recommend it, but it's hectic. It's my only poster quote for that one. Probably a good segue to another film that had me Wikipediaing in not such a positive way, a film called When Time Ran Out, which is freely available on YouTube, as my husband discovered. And Paul Newman stars in this one. And there's a quote via the Wikipedia page. He's singled out this film in an interview as the one regret of his career. That volcano movie is what he called it. He didn't actually even deign to name it. But, yeah, it's one of those fantastic, in a inverted commas way, just in the wake of Towering Inferno and Poseidon and disaster films. So this one's a volcano one on an island, Pacific Island, and, you know, calamity ensues with really dodgy effects.
Excuse me, but don't we have any other explosions? Thank you. Burgess Meredith and Hill Street's Veronica Hamill. They were all having a good time when time ran out.
I think Paul Newman was on the hook contractually to be in it, but it's not without its charms, but it certainly, just watch it as a bit of an escapism little feast. And I'm always a fan of Paul Newman anyway, so, you know, that's not the worst way to spend a few hours, even though it's pretty dodgy.
I haven't seen that one, Fee. What else is on your list?
you don't need to watch it either, Ben, but one last one I'll do, Ma, which is a very fun horror movie that stars Octavia Spencer, which is not usually her wheelhouse, but it's quite fun. And she puts it all out there, playing a woman who befriends some teenagers who just want somewhere to go to drink. And she invites them to her basement to just have parties. And she just gets a little too into it. and there's some hilarious scenes of her just cutting loose, dancing, and just, you know, quite stalkery. Eventually she does some video messages to the kids that are hilarious. And after watching this film, I missed it all when it was playing in the US, because I actually don't think it got a release here. I saw it on one of the streaming platforms, Amazon, I think. But there's a whole bunch of Ma memes that are hilarious. And when Octavia Spencer got wind of that, she just started posting them all on her social media account. And look, I was there for it. It's a hoot, actually. So, yeah, that's a bit big dumb fun.
That's how everyone's dream now is to become a meme.
Yeah, it's all we can hope for. Look, there's a whole bunch of other things, but who knows how long we're going to be in here, so I'll save some for next time.
There is so much to watch, which is we're fortunate to have, particularly on SBS On Demand. So, we were saying, let's finish the show with a recommendation that people can go and watch on SBS On Demand right now.
Yeah, I think, that's kind of all I've been doing at the Guide and Movies lately. It's kind of like, I think everyone's always on the lookout for something to watch. So, yeah, in these times, I think maybe if we just leave with one recommendation each of something to catch SBS On Demand. What's on your list?
Yeah, well, I was thinking, you know, something that we all enjoy that we're unable to do in this current climate is get in a room with a bunch of other people and gossip with one another. And that pretty much defines the weekly SBS show Insight, which, you know,
that's a new spin on how that show is promoted, but no, go with it.
That's how I like to think of it.
And Jenny Brockie's our own gossip girl.
Yeah, with that, it's a Gossip Girl with journalistic integrity. And they did a great episode a couple of weeks ago. You know, there are many, many great episodes, and I know that it is a show that does do very well on SBS On Demand. And I would encourage people to go there and just browse by topic, and I'm sure you'll find many stories you can get into. But there was an episode a couple of weeks ago on relationships where there's a considerable age gap between partners. And it did very, very well. And it's just one of those juicy, great insight topics where you just have so many questions about sort of the life choices of these people. You know, not all of them negative or positive, but... you know, it's just what led these people, you know, with these 30-year age gaps with their partners into those relationships, and what was the impact on the people around them. So I definitely
juicy.
Recommend
yeah.
people.
That used to be called the May-December relationship, didn't it?
Yes. And, you know, predominantly, and this in itself is interesting, sort of older man, younger woman.
Yeah.
So that sort of in itself speaks something about our culture. But there is also a gay male couple on the show as well, where I think sort of he's in his 40s and he only has relatively recently come out. And he's dating a 19-year-old. And, you know, what are the implications of that relationship?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a great watch.
That does sound good. Yeah. Well, so now we'll go to mine, which comes from the, and now for something completely different school, but mine is a really gorgeous black and white film in language, in this case it's German, story just set in the immediate aftermath of World War I. So a lot of pain in the story, but it's a beautiful romance as well and a story about moving on. And I thought I picked this one because when we record it's on the eve of Anzac Day. And so it's called, have I even said the name of it? France, which is not the country but the name. So it's F-R-A-N-T-Z and it's by French filmmaker François Ozon, who pops out films kind of every year or every other year. And this one I saw at the movies, but as we say now it's streaming at SBS On Demand. But I remember watching it, just going to the movies for, had heard good things but was unprepared for how affected I would be by it because it's just incredibly moving and a story about a family trying to move on from the death of a soldier when the parents of said soldier and also his fiancée, and the dead soldier's name was France. So into their lives comes a French soldier, obviously from the other side of the war, who makes an appearance and has a bit of mystery around him because why is a French guy coming to the grave of a German soldier? But I won't say too much, but there's a bit of a mystery to his connection to France and the impact he has on the lives of Anna, the fiance, and also the parents is incredibly moving. So I would definitely recommend that one to have a little watch and maybe a little cry at SBS On Demand.
So that was France, Fee.
Yes.
Spell it for us one more time because it's. I think we need to be able to search for this appropriately.
Correct. France, not the country, but the name. So F-R-A-N-T-Z. And that one is by the director François Ozon.
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah, I will be typing that in my search box sometime
soon.
It
sounds like you are right now.
Well, so that's it for a very special isolated edition of our show. And we really do hope that we can do this more regularly.
Yes, we'll try and do get back into the habit of this one. So a little rusty.
Yeah.
I'm a little out of practice, but no, it's good. I think we all need to get back to a sense of normality and this is a good way to do it.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'd also just like to say we had a really lovely email come through from a listener, long-time listener, Heidi Key, hello, who asked where the show had gone and just said some really lovely things about how she looks forward to this, which lit a fire under us to get back in the studio as best we can, which is not a studio, it's our own home office bedrooms. But it was really nice to hear that and to hear the impact that this little old show can have on people. So thank you, Heidi.
Yeah, thanks, Heidi. Good reminder for us to try and embrace as much normality as is possible under the circumstances. And so make sure you subscribe to SBS The Playlist wherever you get your podcasts, and give us a lot of stars and leave us a nice review, because it helps people to find the show. And you can let us know what you've been watching while you've been in isolation on Facebook or Twitter at SBS Movies. And I'm on Twitter at Ben Nguyen TV.
And I'm on Twitter a lot at Anything But Fifi.
The Playlist is produced by Jeremy Wilmot over Zoom at the moment. Until next week, we hope.
Stay safe, and thanks for listening.